2, not walking after the flesh, but walking after those things of the Spirit. Now remember that the joy or the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, which is where we've been today, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now he started this out by talking about how he wanted them to walk in the Spirit and not walk after the lust of the flesh, not walk after the ways that are of this life. And as we have studied this and taken a look at these different fruits of the Spirit, I think it goes without saying that there is a mindset and a direction that all of us need to have as we go through life to simply set our sight and set our goal on doing what God would have us to do. It's important that we understand that we have a decision, we have a choice that we are faced with every single day. And I often talk about the choice of, you know, do I obey Christ? Do I put Jesus on in baptism? And yes, that's one of the greatest decisions you ever make in your life. But beyond that, there are decisions that are every single day that we go through life. We have to decide, will we serve God today or will we serve this world? And Satan is trying to tear us away from serving God all the time. He's trying to put into our minds these ideas of the lust of the flesh, to where we are consistently consumed with the ideas of sin within life that could be possible for us to engage in. The Apostle Paul is saying, don't be a part of that. You need to redirect yourself. You need to follow after those things that are of God. The more I study the Scripture, the more I consider and see things in Scripture that simply deal with the idea that we need to keep the Word of God on our heart and in our minds. We need to study the Scripture. We need to spend time in thinking about what it is God would have us to do. As I've grown older, I've understood the greater importance of going to God in prayer. The frequency of how we do that, waking up in the morning, going to bed at night, throughout the day, that God is on our mind. And from what I have seen within my own life, the fact that I keep God on my mind, it is easier, I'm going to throw that in, easier to avoid things that are of this world. Now, is it still difficult in some ways? Yes, it is. But it is easier knowing and thinking of God and what He has done for us and the reward that we have in Him. Now, as we've talked about these fruits of the Spirit, we come to faithfulness. And we spent this morning and we talked about faithfulness in light of the fact of God and God being faithful. God is God and God is faithful. And everything that God has said, He has been faithful in what it is that He has said. Nothing has changed. Nothing has wavered. That God is consistent in what He does within our perception of Him. I was going to say in the life of God, but there is no life of God. God is. God simply exists. And that is truly beyond the deepest reaches of my imagination. But I believe that He is. Because I think there's evidence for the power and the greatness that there is in God. But God is faithful. And Jesus, His Son, was faithful. The Apostle Paul is pointing out we need to have faithfulness. Fruit of the Spirit, we need to dwell upon that right there. The fruit of the Spirit, those things that aren't of the flesh but are of the Spirit. And faithfulness is one of those. Friends, we need to be faithful within our life. God has never wavered, and the challenge for you and I is the fact that we walk on that straight and narrow path. Not that broad, not that wide, but that straight and narrow where that which of God is there. Well, this morning we said that we were going to take a look at a couple different things, and if you're still in Hebrews chapter 11, follow along with me, and I appreciate that scripture reading, and we see here the Hebrew writer as he is talking about faith. And by faith, there are things in this world that we can understand. And we find that this chapter is filled with examples and individuals that moved as they went through life by faith, not knowing for sure what was going to be at the end of that road whenever they got there, but what they were confident is, or of, going into Egypt, and we've talked about Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, where God said, you need to get up and go. Get up and leave this land. Go land that I will show you. And we see that Abraham, he got up and he went. And we see those great individuals of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, we were talking before we got started here this evening. Now, faith is the substance, or it is the realization of the things that are hoped for. You know, I've had this discussion with many people about this idea of what is hope. What is hope? And you know, we think about this term of hope as we have in a worldly concept. You know, I'm reminded of a small child. They says, well, I hope that I get this. You know, birthday is coming up. I hope I get a new bike. Or there's time coming up that I hope I get that good grade. I hope I get that good grade. And isn't it interesting that, how many of you, again, don't raise your hands, have you ever been to school hoping you would get a good grade? Boy, I have. I've been to school and I've hoped that I would get a good grade. Let me tell you what the difference is about one time that I was in school and I studied and I worked diligently. And when I came to the end of that course, my hope was in a good grade because I knew I was going to get one. That's the difference between a leap in the dark where we simply wish and the hope that is in God. And friends, it is our faithfulness that brings us to that point that we can know. That we know, that we have the realization of those things that are hoped for, the evidence or the confidence of things that are not seen. There is confidence that we can have in knowing that there is a God. We don't have to go with a stretch of the imagination to know that He exists. And I am confident as I stand up here in saying that. I don't have to go by the stretch of the imagination to know that there is a Christ Jesus. I know with full confidence that He existed. And it is my faith as it has grown that has given me simply that right there. But this great chapter, we see that faith was in the very beginning, and faith was through the patriarchs, and faith was with Moses, and how that when the children of Israel entered into the promised land, it was by faith that they overcame, they trusted, they believed in God. And the interesting thing is, with so many of these people, they were able to witness God's great works. Moses was able to see, not God, but he was able to see the miracles, the signs, the wonders that were performed. It was Moses' hand that became leprous. It was Moses' rod that became a serpent. It was Moses that saw the waters of that Red Sea part. And it was that dry land that he saw, that he witnessed as he walked across that. See, there's faith, and faith that grows. How often I think of how my faith begins to shrink back, or how often my faith begins to dwindle just a little bit. And I don't want it to, because I need to have confidence. I need to have trust in Christ Jesus and Him crucified, and in my God, the God that we all serve. He will take care of us. Chapter 12 of Hebrews says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friends, we move with faith. We move with faith, and we have so many examples of those that simply trusted, had confidence in God. I think of Abraham as he got up and he left his land. He had no idea what to expect, but there was faith. There was faith that it was the word that was spoken from God, and he was going to follow that word. You know, sometimes I think it's a tough thing to go into a situation where we have given up our total control. That makes sense. That we've given everything over to God to simply say, God, I put my faith in you. I put my trust in you. You know, I'm still with the mindset from time to time that I think, you know what, I can take care of this myself. I can take care of this. You know, Joel, Ellie and I's youngest son, I can say that now because he'll probably be with us next week. I quit talking about him from the pulpit. Joel goes, I want to take care of myself. I don't need anybody. And I kind of laugh at him. I said, Joel, you're 16. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to stay? You know, as long as we had food for Joel, then he'd be all right. I told him, I said, you know, Joel, as long as I'm alive, and even after I'm dead, I'll be your father. But as long as I'm alive, I'll be here for you, whether you want me to be or not. It's where I'll be. You know, God is there for us. And we don't need to go through life thinking, man, I got this on my own. I'll just take care of this myself. God is there. God is there to walk with us, to be with us, to give us our direction that we need to have in life. That we can stand firm and we can stand constant in God. That He will not waver. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness. You know, we have these in Hebrews chapter 11. But all of us in here can speak from personal experience of those that have ran a race in faith. Those that have been through the greatest challenges of their life. Those that have confronted death. And they've done it very strong. Very strongly. I check with my English teacher when I'm done. But their confidence is in heaven. Their confidence is in heaven. Friends, faithfulness in this life, that's where it takes us. It takes us to a point where we don't have to fret. Our commitment to God takes us to the point where we have that promise, where we look to make heaven our home. Turn with me back to the Gospel of Matthew. I want us to consider, and we're not going to go into great depth within these stories, but I want us to consider some of those that came to Jesus as He walked here upon this earth, and they had needs. There were people that were hurt, people that were sick, people that were facing deformities. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10. We see that Jesus had cleansed a leper. And then we find that there was a centurion that had come to Jesus in verse 6. Lord, my servant is laying home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. You ever wonder what it would be like to have the physical Jesus in your home? Now, I pray for all of us that we have the spiritual Jesus in our home. But you ever wonder what it would be like to have the physical Jesus? That's a big thought. Jesus said, I will come and I will heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. But then only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. You talk about faith. You talk about humility. Just speak the word. The centurion said, just say it. Just say it and it will be so. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to those, go. And he goes, and to another, come. And he comes, and to my servant, do this. And he does that. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not in Israel. I've not found such great faith. He considered the faith of this one that came up and realized who Jesus was. And realized what it was that he could do. There's so much more that we could say about this. If you think about the power that Jesus possesses. And here is a man that understood it. Here's a man that simply said, you don't have to come. I'm not worthy for you to come and to visit my house, to visit my home. But Lord, if you'll just say the word, if you'll just say the word, and consider this for just a moment, that he recognized the truth of the power of Christ and the fact that he could simply say the word, and it would be so. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into the outer darkness, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. As you believe, so let it be done for you. Jesus spoke the word, and his servant was healed that same hour. Faith. Faith. You know, as I have grown in my faith, there are things that I indeed myself have struggled with. Times I've struggled with growing older. But as I've grown older, I've become better at the realization the fact that God is with me. That I can trust in Jesus. I've come to the realization that what I do in life is to work toward heaven, my home. And those things that I struggle with are not in a spiritual sense, but they're in a worldly sense. And yet as I grow older, this struggle in a worldly sense becomes easier. As I strive to have such great faith in Christ Jesus. Think about it. One day, he will say words to you and I. One of these days, he will say words to you and I. Either enter in, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I have faith. I have faith that those that live according to God's word will hear those sweet, sweet words, enter in that good and faithful servant. Oh, what a great time that is. But this man's faith, there was none like it in the land of Israel. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2, Jesus had gotten into a boat and he crossed into his own city, Nazareth. And behold, they brought him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Now it's interesting that Jesus said that because what could be greater in this life than to hear your sins have been forgiven. Now friends, I want to tell you that's a realistic event for all of us because our sins can be forgiven in Christ Jesus. The scribes started to say with themselves, this man blasphemes. Who is this to forgive sins? And boy, it's one of the great claims of Christ Jesus. That he was able to forgive sins and that he was the Son of God. But Jesus, knowing their So why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And he looked at the paralytic and he said, take up your bed and go to your house. Pick up your bed and go to your house. Jesus spoke the word. Look what verse 7 says. And he arose and departed to his house. And whenever those that saw it, they marveled. They glorified God. They glorified God who had given such power to men. Jesus said the word. You know, there's a lot of things in life I would have loved to have seen. Would have loved to have seen. I would have loved to have seen this. The paralytic. Who simply gets up and takes his bed. You know, and in my mind I wondered, well, was there a little time? Was there a moment for this paralytic to process this information? Looks to me like, and he arose. And he arose. You know, the word "and" is real interesting in language. It gives equal value. It gives equal value to two or more things. Jesus said, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose. What a concept that is. The faith of these men to bring him to Christ Jesus. What great faith that there is. Matthew 9 and 29. The two blind men were healed. Jesus had departed from the two blind men, following him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? You know, it was interesting that there's a confession we must make as we go through life. Do you believe that Christ Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Where does your faith lie? Let's pause here for just a moment. Where does your faith lie? Have you ever thought about this for just a second? Do you believe that Jesus is able to do this? I often like to take a look at things that I see in life that sometimes don't make sense in my mind. Now, what does that mean? Not a whole lot, Coach. Not a whole lot. Things sometimes don't make sense to me. But you know, I think upon these things of what Christ is able to do. Is there anything that Christ can't do? You know, during the period of time that he was on earth, and keep this in the positive light. Because when we say, well, he couldn't sin, yeah, you're right. Or he chose not to. He's 100% God. You know, we get into these discussions and people like to say, well, you can't put a square peg into a round hole. Oh, that's true. That's not what I'm talking about. Think about the things that Jesus was able to do. He's the one that died upon the cross. Which to me is an unbelievable, amazing, amazing feat. Do you believe? Do you believe? Remember the boy that had the demon in him. The father said, I believe, help my unbelief. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. And then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. And we don't have time to get into that verse. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? Jesus said, don't tell anybody. That's what I used to tell kids when they were in school about gossip. What do we all do? We say, don't tell anybody. We go, oh, I'm not telling a soul. And then they turn the corner and go, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? About how that works. And if these blind men got healed, Jesus said, don't tell anybody. They couldn't keep it in them, could they? They could not keep it in them. But Jesus said, their faith. According to your faith, let it be. Let your sight come back according to your faith. There's others that we could go into, but for time's sake, we won't. I pray that we work toward faithfulness in this life. That we work on growing our faith. Some may say, well, how do we grow our faith? We talked this morning, we talked about walking in God's ways. Not man's, but walking in God's ways. Fearing God. Going often to Him in prayer. We need courage. We need to look forward. Luke 9:62. Jesus said, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We look forward. We look towards serving God in all things that we do. And we don't let our other things interfere and come before our service to God. And it takes faith. It takes faith to be able to put off those things that we love. And I believe that our faith develops. It develops to the point that we come to completion within this life. That we endure, we overcome. Apostle Paul said, I have kept the faith. I fought a good fight. And you know what, friends? If we're going to serve God, it's going to be a fight, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It is going to be a fight. Because everybody around us, I don't say everybody, but a lot of people around us are trying to get us to be in the world right there with them. Fight the good fight. Keep the faith. I don't know if I've ever shared this story with you or not. When I first started preaching after my grandfather died, I'd said no 2 times. Scared to death to preach. Scared to death to get up in front of other people. Finally, Brother Ray Amos called me that 3rd time, and this was after Pat had passed. I said, all right, Brother Ray. I said, I'll be there. Oh, I was a mess. Remember those days, honey? I went to preaching school. We sat down on an interview, and Andy asked me if I'd ever preached before. And I said, yes, I've been preaching for several years. And I said, yeah, but he was horrible. I was scared to death. You know, Ray played such an important part of my life. And when I think about faithfulness in life, I think about his life. Wasn't too long after I started preaching there that Brother Ray got sick. And Brother Ray is not the only person that has ever expressed the same thought to me. But every time I hear it, it impresses me just as much. On a Sunday evening before services started, I was talking to Brother Ray about his sickness. And he said, I'll get better. But if I don't, it's okay. I've fought a good fight. It always impresses me. Those that go through trial and tribulation, how they keep the faith. Those those that struggle, how they keep the faith. Those that are facing the end of their days, and they look forward to heaven. Boy, our faith takes us to that point. Fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Part of the fruit is faithfulness. Living in Christ and for Christ. That we can know, that we can be confident, that we have assurance that being faithful in Christ, one day our home will be in heaven. I'm thankful for not only Brother Ray, but so many as I've gone through my life that have set an example of faith. Regardless of what is put in front of them, they've simply claimed that there is not a mountain that they cannot climb if God is with them. Where's your faith in your life? Are you in Christ? If you believe that He is that Son of God, and I want to tell you, there's no greater joy than being in Christ. And there's no greater promise than heaven one day. And friends, by faith, one day we're going to walk those streets of gold with our loved ones and our family members, all those saints throughout history that have served God. And I can't wait. I cannot wait. If you're not in Christ, I want to encourage you. Put Him on baptism. Wash away your sins. Believing He is the Son of God, confessing your faith, repenting of your sins. Going into that water of sinner and coming out clean. And living your life faithful in Christ. If you once done those things that you had struggled in your faith and maybe even fallen away, I want to encourage you to make your heart right. Begin to build and strengthen your faith once again. It's the only hope and the only promise we have. Won't you come forward now? Together we stand. And as we sing.